Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church online service for February 7th. Obviously recording early and just wanted to let you know, since it was a pleasant day today when I'm recording, thought I'd do that outside. Got a bit of a crackling fire beside me to keep warm and everything is good. I'm Randy Clausen, pastor with the church, together with Pastor Nick Sherman and youth worker Taya Himes. Just a few announcements to get us started. Today we begin, three-part series, Where Do I Even Begin? And the series is taken from the prophet Micah, and you're invited to read that. Reading the prophets, listen as they charge us to keep alive and alert to God. Micah's message in particular is to keep us God-grounded, God-energized, and God-passionate. Micah calls us to be aware that God enters into our messy lives with a stinging rebuke of sin, yet he comes with the purpose of giving us hope for renewal. And so you are invited to read the prophet Micah. As I can try and get my pages redone here, it's hard outside. Later on, Pastor Nick's going to share on the topic, Love Mercy, which is taken from Micah chapter 6. At 10:45 this morning, Pastor Nick will be hosting a time of visiting on Zoom, a discussion of questions that he has from the message, and just to catch up with one another. Email Pastor Nick for the access code to join in on that. There are also weekly reflections from the Psalms, and you can receive those either by email or snail mail, and again, contact Pastor Nick or the church office. Number of other gatherings continue happening online. This morning at 11:30, the grades 7 to 11 Sunday school will be connecting with each other on Zoom. Also this coming week, junior youth have a check-in call, the usual time Monday at 7 o'clock. Kids Club check-in call is on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. And senior youth, you've got a virtual retreat coming up next weekend. And you're encouraged to contact Taya for information, as well as she will be getting you some supplies that'll be required for that weekend retreat. Then next Sunday, obviously has already happened this morning, 9:30 grades 3 to 6 Sunday school are also Zooming. For access to these ministries and others, contact youth worker Taya Himes. And changing pages here. There we go. Sorry for that. Get you all messed up. The stay-at-home emergency order is going to continue for a while, at least we understand. So to keep everyone safe, we're going to continue online services. We look forward to that time when we can gather once again for in-person services, and so be listening for those announcements. Obviously, the annual membership meeting of the church is going to be different this year. The report books have been mailed out, either snail mail or email, and if you haven't gotten yours already, contact Eileen at the office. Church Council is inviting your comments and questions to that. You can send that to Kevin, Alvin, any Church Council member or the church office to pass that on. Do so by February 16th, because February 17th, they'll be making a summary and getting that out to the rest of the membership. Any other concerns or things that you want to make the pastoral staff aware of, contact the church office or call us pastors at home, because these days we are working primarily from home. With all of this, your offerings and donations to the church for the ministries are much appreciated. And see the bulletin for details as to how that can be done. For our call to worship this morning, reading from Psalm 78. Hear the prayer of the psalmist. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. Things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants, we will tell them to the next generation. Praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob, established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Thus far, the reading from the psalmist, and as we continue to prepare, invite you to join with me for a word of prayer. God, as we enter into this time of worship, from the Psalms I hear your warning, that I not repeat the sins of the past, but look to you for your persistent mercy and your power to save. Help me this day to hear the call of Jesus for healing and hope, of life and life to the full. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We may not be able to sing together these days, but we can still sing from the heart. Alvin is going to lead us with some music. Alvin? Thanks, Alvin, for leading us in that music. While the COVID pandemic dominates our lives with news headlines, as a faith community, we also want to be aware of our need to be God-grounded with other happenings around us, in our lives, community, and around the world. I invite you to pray with me. God of compassion and abounding love, these days when we cannot gather as a faith community, from your prophet, we hear the stinging rebuke, pointing out our misguided efforts when we try to be religious, when we show up at church for a show, when we try to impress you with the size of our check donations. Your heart's desire is for us to be faithful, faithful in the likeness and behavior of your Son Jesus. Forgive us when we make a show of indignation at reports of injustice in faraway lands, yet fail to extend mercy to our neighbor who displeases us, or when those who we love disappoint us. May the forgiveness and grace we receive through Jesus be the guide for how we respond to others, those near and those far. We pray for one another by name as we pray for ourselves during these challenging times of isolation and restrictions. We pray by name for families who mourn the death of loved ones. We pray by name for individuals and their families, for those ill from various other causes. We pray by name for teachers, parents, students who are weary of online learning and long to be together again. We pray for our community, healthcare providers, for their wisdom in seeking our well-being. We pray for countries embroiled in conflict, where violence and injustice cause pain. We invite your redeeming power to be at work in our lives for the healing and hope through Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. Once again, Alvin is going to lead us in music, and thank you for that, and blessings to you for this day.
I'll be reading from Micah 6, verse 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now I'll be reading from Hosea 6, verse 6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God, rather than burnt offerings.
If you were to look, you'd be hard-pressed to find a single positive word said about dogs in all of Scripture. Now, for those of you who might prefer the company of cats, don't get too excited because they aren't mentioned at all. But dogs are consistently portrayed in this particularly negative light when it comes to the Bible. And you may know that this is because they're not necessarily the beloved companions, beloved pets that we know and keep these days. In that time, they were more like these wild dump dwellers, kind of scavengers, these animals that would often prey on flocks in that time. Probably more along the lines of coyotes as we know them today. All that being what it is, I want to preach on what I see as one of the more positive attributes of contemporary canines today. And I want to do that by means of illustration. I should probably clarify in case any of you are about to turn this off, thinking that if you wanted something like that, you could probably find it better on the Nature Channel. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to start by saying that we're continuing our series based on Micah 6, verse 8 today. Those familiar words, familiar verse, which we've heard read again for us this morning, it goes like this. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your gods. And this is, again, a three-part series in which we're looking through each of those requirements one by one. And last week, if you're watching along, listening along, you'll know that we looked at acting justly, what that meant in Micah's day and what that might mean for us today. And this week, we're looking at that second requirement, to love mercy. Now, if we're going to take what we heard last week into account, we might assume that when Micah tells the people of ancient Israel here to love mercy, he's telling them to be merciful or to show mercy, especially to those who might need it the most. We might assume that he's telling them to offer forgiveness or not treat others severely or be compassionate on those who are suffering or take over those who are in trouble, people like the widow or the orphan or the foreigner. And while those are without a doubt good things for people of faith to be doing, that's not exactly what Micah's talking about here in this verse when he says love mercy. What Micah's referring to here, it's more along the lines maybe of loyal loving kindness or steadfast loyalty. This idea of loyal loving kindness or steadfast loyalty. Micah's deeply concerned with the plight of the poor, the downtrodden, the oppressed, as we heard last week, yes. But the starting point for that, the way to get that there for him is this commitment, faithful commitment to the way of life that God laid out for the people of ancient Israel and the laws of the covenants. And so coming back to what I said then at the start, about wanting to speak to an admirable quality of dogs. Dogs, or at least most of them, are known for their loyalty. Growing up, our farm was this revolving door for cats, which kind of came and went as they very well pleased. Sometimes they came pregnant, which meant that several cats came at once. A kind of Trojan horse takeover scenario. And we never really knew which cats were ours and which ones weren't, because by the time we had figured it out, they had drifted off to some other farm. It'd probably be more accurate to say that our county just collectively owned hundreds of cats, which we all shared between us. Cats are like that. Of all the dogs we had, though, I can't recall there being a single one that ran off on us. Because dogs don't do farm crawls like their feline counterparts do. They always kept close for us. We lived on 90 acres of farmland with open field and forest all around, but none of our dogs really needed a leash. Seldom in my memory did we even keep them tied up. The dogs we had just stuck around. There are exceptions to be sure, but dogs are known for that, for their loyalty. And so you can go and find all of these stories of faithful dogs, as they're called. People love this sort of thing because people, in particular dog people, love their dogs. While these stories tend to sometimes be a bit too sentimental and sappy for my tastes, I'll admit that some of the accounts are truly phenomenal. There are stories of dogs who remain by their owner's sides through the most extreme circumstances, like fire and flood or other natural disasters. There are these incredible accounts of dogs who return to their place after their owners died, return to the place where they last saw them, just waiting for them to return day after day after day, in some cases for well over a decade. And there are stories of dogs who run off while on a family vacation, thousands and thousands of miles from home, only to suddenly show up on their doorstep months later. And so while it's maybe not the most flattering comparison to consider, I think that the loyalty that dogs are so well known for is maybe something like what Mike is talking about here when he tells the people of ancient Israel to love mercy. Because to love mercy as God's people is to have this ongoing loyalty to our master. It's this lifelong posture of obedience. The ancient Hebrew word that Micah uses here is chesed, which most often in scriptures is translated as unfailing love. That's what ancient Israel is supposed to live into. That's the attitude, the way of life that they're supposed to have. It's this kind of determined devotion, a loving stick-with-itness, a kind of spiritual doggedness, maybe literally in the best sense of the words. For the people of ancient Israel, that was what keeping covenant was supposed to mean. You may know that a covenant in that time was this kind of mutual agreement in which there were provisions and commitments made on the part of both parties involved. The sense that you do this and I'll do this. And by entering into covenant as they did, God was expected to do certain things, since the people of Israel were expected to do and not do certain things as well. Things like keep Sabbath or not steal or not murder. Again, the metaphor is messy here and terribly inexact, but I think there's maybe something like that in this unspoken agreement that's shared between dogs and their owners. I provide you food and shelter, and you bark loudly when someone comes onto the front step in the middle of the night. Or I give you companionship and cheer you up, and you pet me and relieve that stubborn itch on my belly and help me shed my loose fur at springtime. I'll hold up my end of the deal, and you hold up yours, and we'll both stick with it and stick with one another to the end. I think that, or at least something like that, is what covenant means and meant when we read about it in the Hebrew scriptures. The sense that I'll hold up my end of the deal and you hold up yours and we'll stick with it and stick with one another to the end. And I think that's what Mike is concerned with here in this verse and throughout this book that bears his name. You'll know that the Hebrew prophets talked about a lot of things, but one of the things they most often talked about was this idea of covenant faithfulness. The prophets were called by God to call God's people back when they had wandered away from the covenant, having failed to uphold their part of the agreements. So the prophets did a lot of saying, you said you would do this, but now you're not doing it. Or you said you wouldn't do that, and now you're doing it. We see this throughout these chapters here. Micah addresses Israel's idolatry, the people's fondness for other gods and setting up images of them. He rebukes the people for following the lead of false prophets and consulting foreign spiritualists and seers. And he decries injustice and exploitation and oppression, as we heard last week. And all these things are not concerns, not so much for their own sake, for the prophets, but because they weren't part of the deal that was struck at Mount Sinai. They represented this rift in the sacred relationship that was set up between God and God's people. And so Micah, in these pages, names their infidelity. He points out their unfaithfulness and calls them back to this posture of loyalty. And while centuries have passed, I believe that Micah's words still present a challenge for us today. Because as much as we might love a good faithful dog story like that of Fido or Bobby the Wonder Dog, I think that loyalty is in many ways a lost thing in our worlds. Most people, I reckon, would prefer the life of a drifting country cat, living loose without a permanent address or owner. And I say that now with a kind of deadly seriousness. In our day, lifelong promises such as those made at baptism or marriage are often seen as antiquated or restrictive or unnecessary or unbinding. We don't often use words like covenants or fidelity anymore. A lot of people are scared of ever settling for one thing. We're wary of making big commitments. Most people, I think, would probably rather run wild like a stray and have what they perceive as the freedom to kind of come and go as they please, rather than talking about something like loyal loving kindness or steadfast loyalty. And this is true today as it was in Micah's day, because this has always been true, I believe, in one form or another, because this is the human condition. I know this because it's true of my own hearts, and I suspect that you know it because it's true of yours as well. We prefer life on our own terms. We'd like to think of ourselves as our own authorities. We're ever prone to wander, as the old hymn goes. We have deep-seated prodigal tendencies, every one of us. And so love mercy, Micah tells the people, calling them to come back home again. Because that's what God requires. That's what God wants, our loyal loving kindness, our steadfast loyalty. More than rituals, more than sacrifices, more than service, Micah says, God desires our heart's allegiance. God delights in those things, yes, but the starting point is that deeper commitment to the relationship. It's not about lip service or religious checklisting. The starting point for the marks of the life that God wants for us is ongoing devotion to the relationship. The first requirement for all of life's requirements is faithfulness to our relationship with God. And so that's the verdict at the end of the trial as we see it play out here in Micah chapter 6, that the people return to God and commit to keeping covenant once again, that they be like the farm dog that chooses to stay nearby, even though there's nothing in reality tying it down. So as much as there's maybe something inside of us that pushes against that, I believe that there's also something inside of us that's instinctively drawn to it. Because we know, we believe that at the end of the day, it makes for a better life. By no means is it always a safer or a more carefree or comfortable one, but we believe it makes for a better one. And so I think that it's part of our work as churches today, that work of recovering and reclaiming the countercultural way of deep and lasting commitments. This goes, again, against a lot of our instincts, I think. In a time when Christianity is in decline, we're likely to be tempted to shy away from presenting things that might be perceived as demanding. We know that people in general have a hard time showing up and sticking with things, and so we're maybe careful not to present too big, something that seems like too big of an ask. But if we truly believe that loving mercy is what God requires, that's the starting point for everything else, that there's actually a beauty and a freedom to it, then we ought not be ashamed of calling one another to that, the way that Micah called the people back to that in his day. This kind of covenant loyalty that Micah talks about will look different in different situations. Sharon Parks once paraphrased his words here as a call to love tenderly, love fiercely, and love tenaciously. Like our relationships with dogs, for those of us who have them or have had them, there's a kind of depth and there's dimensions to that. I remember teaching a new puppy to come when I whistled and patting its stomach as it lay in the sun and panted gleefully. There's a tenderness to it. And I remember later on, our German Shepherd placing itself between me and the neighbor's pit bull, which would always come and bite at my ankles when I biked past. There's a fierceness to it. And I remember how, regardless of where on earth they had been on a given day, our dogs always were curled up on their pillow come sundown. There's a tenaciousness to it. Love tenderly, love fiercely, love tenaciously, Micah tells the people of ancient Israel. This is no sentimental or sappy matter. It's this dogged, lifelong resolve to circle back and stay close to the heels of the God who created us and loves us. Old Testament scholar Dennis Bratcher once said that the love that Micah writes about here is not at all a warm, fuzzy feeling kind of love, but instead a, a radical commitment and steadfast dependability that arises from mutual relationship. A commitment and a steadfast dependability that arises from mutual relationship. As people living in the way of Jesus, we know that we're participants in a new covenant. By his death, which ultimately overcame death, we believe that Jesus opened up a new way of being in relationship with God. And so it's going to look different for us than it did in Micah's day. And yet the call, it's clear that the call to loyalty remains. The call to love, mercy remains. And the good news in all of that, the good news for ancient Israel and for us, is that this covenant relationship is not at all one of equals. God's loyalty and faithfulness is far, far greater than our own. We see this over and over in the story of Scripture. God upholds God's end of the deal, even when we fail to uphold ours. Even when the people, like the people of ancient Israel, we wander off again and again and again. Even when our souls roam, God's loving loyalty is far, far greater than our own. That's what we see most clearly on the cross, and that's the word of hope that Micah ends his message with in chapter 7. And I'll read those words for you now. Who is God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You'll be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham as you pledged an oath to our ancestors in days long ago. And so we can come back to it again and again and again, just as Micah called the people to come back to it in his day and just as they did in response. Calling someone a dog in Bible times was about as strong an insult as you could possibly think of. The Apostle Paul includes it alongside evildoers and mutilators of the flesh, if that gives you a good sense of it. But dogs and us have come a long way since then. And so I think you'll understand me and hopefully not be too offended when I say again, it's worth taking a lead from their loyalty as we seek to be people who love mercy. As for cats, on the other hand, I'll have to leave that for another sermon. Amen.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed.
By the power of your love.
Thank you again for joining us today, and thank you to each person who contributed to the service and those who helped put it together. As we close up our time, I'd invite you to pray with me once more. Thank you, God, for your unfailing love, your love that welcomes us back again and again and again. How often have we wandered from home? How often have we strayed from your spirits? Too many times to count, O God. You call us back again today, and you embrace us as we come, as if we had never left at all. God, we want to live loyal lives. We want to be faithful to you, with just the smallest of measures of your great faithfulness towards us. Some of us, God, may have never committed our lives to that, and so we commit to that today. And some of us have committed to that many, many years ago and many times since, and so we give ourselves to that anew again today. Help us in that, God. We cannot do that of our own strength or our own will. And help us as we seek to help one another in that as well. We pray for the rest of our day today, and we pray for this week that now unfolds before us. We ask that you guide us as we go, in Christ's name. Amen.